The word is working to loosen any idea we have that we are an autonomous, independent being. This is what we're constantly being put in front of, because the appearance of the senses, that the feeling we have life in ourselves, is so strong. And what we're put in front of is really the rationale that sits behind why that feeling just can't be true. That it has to be an appearance if all things are to be connected back to the Lord. And so what we have here is information that's provided through the text as to how it all works. And what we're asked to do is to work with that and to see how that might be true in our own life and experience. So that's always the challenge, of course, with the word. It often puts us in front of things that seem counterintuitive where the appearance of the senses is concerned. I was struck with the idea of those people who regard nature and not the Lord. Often for myself, I can see that in when I give effects as properties of cause. So when I see and think from my senses and believe what is external to myself is the cause of my state, that is where I'm inverting my sense of things. So I was reminded of that, not to give the senses power that they don't have. So the world, with its events and interrelationships and all of that, really just, it grounds what is interior. So we get to see our responses to things. So it's really about what's going on within. And so often what happens is that we get caught in the appearances. And when we're caught up in appearances, we see the appearances as causing our state. Whereas in effect, if we had full trust in the Lord, then, just as an example, right, that if we have full trust in the Lord, our reaction to what happens without would be different to when we lack trust in the Lord and seek to try and control the situation ourselves. But the thoughts and the feelings that arise are what's present from within, not from without. So what happens without doesn't cause the thoughts. It just grounds the beliefs and affections that are present, and that gives us an opportunity to see what we're associated with. So the hells that are present have to be present because they align with where we are at, and they're used to gradually lead us into less destructive and less destructive associate spirits. And that's the process by which we're drawn out of the proprium, the belief that we have life in ourselves, essentially. And so it's a very gradual, incremental shifts in movement that occurs. Freedom is as much about being able to see our evils as it is about choosing the Lord. Because until you see your evils, there's no point in choosing the Lord. So we have to come to see it. So in divine providence, when it talks about freedom in particular, it's really talking about people being free to indulge their evils. That's the interesting thing about the discussion in divine providence, because without that level of freedom, without evils being manifest, there's no chance of regeneration because you don't see anything to shun. It just opens up the complexity of the management of states on the part of the Lord. And like when you look at it, it's kind of like, thank goodness that the Lord is actually managing those states. You know, it really is beyond us. And in that sense, those spirits that think that they're in control and are fully kind of independent and autonomous, and how they disparage the one that's the subject, looking at that one as being of no value. I think in Eliot it says a non-entity. But again, it's this idea that where you believe yourself to be an autonomous, independent self, it's a dehumanizing of others. Whereas when we acknowledge we are nothing, then we enter more fully into the divine human, and that's reflected in the way that we're able to engage with others from love a neighbor and love to the Lord. But there's kind of a paradox in that, because we seek to hang on to our life, we find it very difficult to let go of that idea that we are someone. And so these readings, particularly the last interchapter material and this interchapter material, really are seeking to, and the actual material we dealt with in the story of Joseph with Benjamin, is seeking to just disassociate ourselves from that idea, to break down or loosen us from the idea that we are independent and autonomous of ourselves. Because that's what our salvation really is in. It's in acknowledging the Lord as the only self, the only life, the only human. So I just made a few notes on this. So all who believe that they have life in themselves disregard others, see them as extension of themselves or as resources for their use and benefit. So their status is one of a non-entity. And if this is internalized, it can often be seen in negative self-talk, disregard of oneself, or dismissive of any sense of self-worth or value. Acknowledgement and freedom that we are nothing in ourselves is different to others telling us this. The idea too here in the reading was that those who are put in front of it are prone to being indignant and resisting and being in states of anger. So the text or the word is seeking to loosen our idea of having an independent, autonomous existence, because that is the one thing that is, if you talk about something at the center of a spider's web, that's it. And that's what gets us hooked. So constantly being put in front of the idea you don't have any life, it's all appearance, your sense of self is an appearance, all of this sort of stuff. And, you know, I know when we first started working with these ideas, just total resistance to it. And then over time, we just see how we shift in relation to it, because we get a sense more and more. And I think this is Benjamin, the connection that's being drawn through the text with more interior things, that we get a sense of all our troubles arise from that one idea and everything spreads out from it. Because at the core, it's love of self and love of the world. Or if you think about it in terms of we love ourself, we love the idea we have a self, and we are doing everything we can to maintain that. And that's a lot of wasted energy, because what we're maintaining is an illusion or a delusion in effect. So, and the text is just gently bending our sense of things to break down that idea. And as that idea breaks down, we are shifted into what is of the Lord. And we begin to feel a different kind of life arising out of that. And it's a life which is in the acknowledgement that we have no life. Yet, because we have come to that acknowledgement, the Lord gives us more of his life, so we feel more alive. I mean, that's the paradox in the whole thing.